Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Joshua. The Old Testament passage of Joshua and chapter number 1. We are beginning a brand new series of the period of the judges, and we'll be going through the book of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel, and examining these great stories of the Bible with the idea of a theme this year of building and battling. And through the book of Joshua, we put a lot of attention on the victory we have in Jesus. Over and over, we see it as the Lord that continues to give victory unto His people. And that's the encouragement that we want to receive, is that God still wants to give us victory. When you think about the old Bible stories, and you think about the miracles, you think about the God of Elisha, you think of all the things that is done, I want to remind you that God has not lost His power. It has not diminished. It is still the very same God. And God is still able. He still can. He still is God. And as we begin this, we want to start off with Joshua chapter 1, where God laid some preparatory work. Before they start seeing some victories, He starts to lay some things out to help them prepare for the victories. So it's appropriate as we start thinking about victory in Jesus with the building and battling, we want to start where God starts and open it up with some preparatory work. Before we see the victories, there are some things that need to be laid down as a foundation. And we see that in the book of Joshua in chapter number 1. The book of Joshua in chapter number 1, and notice with me starting at verse number 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that is that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt observe to do according to that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. Jordan, to go in to possess the land, and the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Unto the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. They also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark something, a phrase that is repeated four times within this passage? Four times in this passage. The first time we see is found in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Once again in verse number 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Once again in verse number 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of good courage. And once again in verse number 18, the last part of it, only be strong and of a good courage. So in verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, and verse 18, we see this phrase, be strong and of a good courage. And with the Lord's help, we want to put the emphasis where the Lord puts it, and we want to preach a message here, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, I'm asking that you would use this message to do preparatory work in our own lives, in our own church, as we prepare to see the victories that you give us. Lord, I'm asking that you would be with us in a mighty way tonight, that your presence would be here, and that you would help each and every one of us to be strong and of a good courage for the purpose of observing the things that you've told us to do, to obey your specific will for our lives, that we would see mighty victories by your hand in such a way that we could say, look at what our God has done. I'm asking that you would just give us grace tonight. Fill me with your precious spirit. And I'm asking that you would just do something amazing here tonight in the hearts of these good folks. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage. Moses is dead. Moses, who's led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, has died. And now God has appointed Joshua to take over and to take the leadership of the children of Israel. Now, I want to remind you that this isn't a small band of people. This is 2.5 million people now that he's now in charge of. How would you like to have that position, to be in charge of the fates, to be in charge of people, of 2.5 million people, to be in charge to lead this people over the Jordan River, to lead them into battle, to lead them to go take the land, to go somewhere where they are not invited, somewhere where they're not welcome, somewhere where it's going to be a fight, somewhere where it's going to be a battle, somewhere where God promised victory, but yet they're so unknown. So Moses is dead, and Joshua is preparing to face the people as their new leader. No wonder God tells them, be strong and of a good courage. Wouldn't you need a pep talk? Wouldn't you need some encouragement to the Lord to take over? Who could fill Moses' shoes? Who could take this man's mantle and lead these people? be strong and of a good courage. As we approach this, I want to show you some things from the Word of God here. First of all, I want to show you courage for Joshua. Courage for Joshua. Notice with me in verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now notice this as we start off here. Notice what Joshua was before this. He was Moses' minister. What does that mean? He was literally his servant. He was his gopher. He was whatever you need, preacher, I'm willing to take care of. You know, I think we've lost that part of training people for the ministry. We've lost that servant that say, preacher, what do you need me to do? I need to go wash toilets. I'll never do that. Can't you get someone else to do that? You know, that's how preacher boys are trained, according to the Bible. They need to be able to work. There's nothing that's beneath us. They need to have that time of just being with the preacher and doing whatever it takes. That's what Joshua did for 40 years. He was the second man. For 40 years, whatever Moses needed, that's what he did. For 40 years. Notice as it goes on in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go after this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now everyone pay attention to me, all the way from the back, all the way to here. Pay attention. Let's see what it says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now here we see God is giving responsibilities. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people into the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. Now he said, all right, Joshua, this is your plan of action. This is what I want you to do, is I want you to lead these people over the Jordan River. I want you to lead them into this land, and every place that the sole of your foot should tread upon, that have I given you. He says, you go, and I've given you everything. Just go. Notice the dimensions of this. From the wilderness into this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Notice this. It says, the wilderness of this Lebanon. Lebanon is found in Phoenicia, Syria. So it goes all the way up the coast to Syria. So the dimensions are all the way north. Notice as it goes the other dimensions, and this great river Euphrates. If you remember your map, the Euphrates River is located in a place we now call Iraq. So God said, I want you to have all of this, not just here, this little strip of land, but you are to take all of this from this strip of land, go past the Jordan River into what we would now call Jordan. Past Jordan, I want you to go all the way into what we call Iraq. All of that is yours. Now, we could tell now that they didn't obey, but that's what God intended them to have. Notice more, he gives the dimensions. And all the land of the Hittites. The Hittites were headquartered in a land we call Turkey. Today we call it Turkey. It was Asia Minor. He says, I want you to have all of Turkey, that big thing. We need a map so you can see all of this stuff. But go look at a map. He says, I want you to have all of Turkey. I want you to go all the way to Iraq. I want you to have all of that land from Syria, Damascus. And I want you to have it all the way down to the Great Sea. That is what is called the Mediterranean River, or the Mediterranean Sea. And I want you to have all the way down to Egypt. All of that is what God said, take it all. Everywhere you go, you put your feet down, that is yours. You just claim it. That's what I want you to have. That is what I'm trying to give to you. It is yours to take. Notice in verse number 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He says, just go, go. Notice verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto them their fathers to give them. So Joshua's received his orders. Joshua, you go and you take it. And everywhere you go, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. No one's going to fight against you. No one's going to be able to defeat you. Then when you get there, I want you to divide the land out to all the people so everyone has their inheritance. All right, Joshua, this is your orders. By the way, be strong and have a good courage. Again, this is a big chunk of land that God told him to take. It's a big thing to lead 2.5 million people to try to bring them all so they're going to obey. And God reminds Joshua, notice it's God telling Joshua, Joshua, you be strong and of a good courage. Now, if you don't mind, may I take a quick little time out and teach you something about the Bible? One of the reasons why we love the authorized Bible, not only the authorized King James Version, we believe that it is the perfectly preserved Word of God, but it's also the most accurate. Now, let me teach you something about these, thous, yees, and yous. Whenever it says thou and thee, it is talking to a singular person. That is in the singular case. So he's talking to Joshua here, and he's saying thou. It is saying thee, for thy life, it will not fail thee. Now, when he's talking to that, the these and the thous are in the singular case. So he's talking specifically to Joshua. Later on, when we get to the people, we're going to see you and ye. Those are the plural case, meaning he's talking to a multitude of people. That's one of the benefits of having this authorized version, is because it gets specific and it allows us to identify the person of address here. And so when he's talking here, he's specifically talking to Joshua, and he's talking to him as a leader, that thou should do this, that thee should do this. And then later on, as people being addressed are the people of Israel, and they go to ye and you. That's just a little bit about why the these and thous and the yous and yees. It's not as confusing as you may think. It's there to be specific to help us to understand the people that are being addressed. And so he's talking to Joshua and he's giving them encouragement. But notice that God just doesn't give them orders. He also gives them promises. Notice verse 5. There shall not be any man to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I, this is God, will be with thee, Joshua. I, God, will not fail thee, Joshua, nor forsake thee. No wonder he says, be strong of good courage. He says, Joshua, don't worry. You're not in it by yourself. I going with you. I will be with you. I won't leave you by yourself. I'm going with you. Verse number 9, he repeats this again. Have not I, God, commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. 3 times in as many verses, God is telling Joshua, be strong and good courage. Why could he be strong and be good courage? Because God said, I am with thee. Do you know, as long as you know the Lord is with you, you could go and face anything. You can go and do anything. Just having God there with you. Be strong and of a good courage. God will be with us. What a wonderful thing. Now, he's talking specifically to Joshua as leadership. And he's telling Joshua, I'm going to be with you. You obey what I've told you to do. You lead these people. Don't worry about the people and the murmuring and all that stuff. You do it. And I'm going to be with you. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, what is the whole purpose of this anyways? Notice with me in verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou, Joshua, may prosper whithersoever. Now notice, he's telling Joshua, Joshua, your job is just to obey what we've told you to do. Obey the Bible. Obey the law. Obey what God has given to you. Joshua, that is your responsibility. Now, why is God spending so much time with Joshua? Why is he prepping Joshua up? Why is he dealing with leadership? Why does he have to tell him, Joshua, obey the Bible? Joshua, obey the Bible. The reason is because everything rises and falls on leadership. Dr. Lee Robertson said that quite often. Everything rises and falls off leadership. Do you know a church will only grow as far as a pastor grows? If a pastor plateaus out, the church will plateau out and they'll stop growing. As long as a pastor is growing, the church will be growing. And it's growing closer to the Lord. You know, when I was an assistant to the pastor, back in the day, my pastor hated when I said this, but I said, my pastor is not perfect, but I know that he's growing in the Lord. And as long as he's growing, I can follow him. That's what he's telling Joshua. You keep obeying my Bible. You keep following my word. You keep going. And guess what? The people will keep growing. As you keep following after the Lord, the people will keep following with me. Keep going, keep going, keep going. He's telling Joshua, you have to keep going. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, leadership in churches stop growing in the Lord. They stop reading the Bibles for themselves. They read the Bibles to get sermons. They read it as a textbook, but they stop reading it devotionally. They stop reading it to follow after Him. They stop reading to start learning how to get closer with the Lord. That's always a dangerous thing. That's why he's telling Joshua, Joshua, I know you followed Moses for 40 years, but you have to obey for yourself. You have to observe to do. You can't just teach it. You have to follow it. You have to practice it yourself. This is important, Joshua. He's not addressing the people in these verses. He's addressing Joshua. Joshua, you have to obey. You have to observe to do. Notice in verse 8, remember, he's addressing Joshua as a person, not Israel as a nation. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou, Joshua, shall meditate therein day and night. Joshua, as leadership, you need to meditate on the Bible day and night. You have to have this word of God in your heart. You have to mull over it. You have to chew on it. Why? What was the whole purpose? Why does God want Joshua to be thinking about the Bible? Notice why? That thou mayest observe to do. That's the whole purpose. You know why he wants us to meditate and think about the Bible? So we observe it, so we do it, so we obey it. He says, Joshua, and before you can lead the people, before you go, I'm pulling you aside, and this is what I want you to do, and I want you to know that I'm with you, but you have to obey the Bible. You have to obey His Word. You have to be in His Word. You have to meditate it. You have to think on it. You have to keep growing. You have to be the example of following after the Lord. Notice as it goes on, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Remember, this is prep work. And he's prepping Joshua, and he says, Joshua, you have to obey my Bible. The only way that there's going to be success is if you're growing, if you're obeying the Bible. The only way you're going to have a prosperous journey is if you're obeying the Bible. You see, everything rises and falls off leadership. Now, in this case, I have to preach to myself now. You know, if we're going to grow as a church, if we're going to have victories this year, it has to start with leadership. I have to be reminded. You know, you say, well, then why are we here? If you're just preaching to yourself, why are we here? Well, let me tell you what you have a responsibility to do. You have a responsibility to pray for your preacher. You know what Satan wants to do in your life, and you know it. He wants you to keep you from your Bible. He'll do everything he can. You know what Satan tries to do in my life? He tries to keep me from his word, from God's word. If Satan could keep me distracted, if he could keep me so busy that I fail to spend time with God, if I wake up in the morning and say, I got to do this and do this and do this, and I don't have time to read my Bible, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to fail to obey God. I'm going to fail to grow. I'm going to fail to spend time with him. And guess what? We're going to stagnate. We're going to turn. We're going to go somewhere we're not supposed to. So you know what you need to do? You need to pray for your preacher every day. You say, what do I pray for him on? That he stays in the Bible. You say, I can't believe you're asking me to pray for the preacher to be in his Bible. You need to pray for your preacher to be in your Bible. It is a fight. It is an attack. You know, pride could get involved. A preacher could say, well, I know all of the Bible. I know so much of it that I could coast. You can't coast. You can't coast. You know what I would encourage you to do, church folks who are very serious about growing this year, about seeing victories, is that you need to set a time that every day that is your time to pray for pastor to be in the Bible. That every day you have a time that you are praying that he stays close to the Lord, that he stays growing with the Lord. You need to do that. Not for your sake, not for my sake, but if we're going to see victory this year, it has to start there. You have a place in victory, even for the pastor. If you fail to pray for your pastor, guess what? It is more easy, trying to get the English grammar correct, it's easier for me to fail. You need to pray for your pastor. I encourage you, set a time. I don't care if it's 6 a.m. or 6 p.m, but you make a point every day that is your time where you remember, you get in the habit of praying for your pastor every day, that he is in his Bible, that he is in his word. If you are serious about church, if you're serious about seeing this church move forward, that's where you have to start. By praying for your pastor, praying that he's in the Bible. I know that it's easy to take this and just to preach and say everyone needs to obey the Bible. And by the way, you do. But the person he's addressing is not the masses. It's not the congregation. It's the leadership. Because if the leadership's not growing, the congregation's not growing. Everything rises and falls off leadership. Notice as we continue on in verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. You know why God had to say be not dismayed? Because there's a lot of discouraging things out there. You know the biggest curse of a pastor, someone said, is that the pastor wants more for you than what you want for yourself. He's brokenhearted because he sees God could do so much with you. He wants to do so much for you. But you're like, it's not that big of a deal. And he says, it is. Well, you know, we just like we tell you, God has to remind us not to keep our eyes on the people. Keep them on the Lord. Keep them on the Lord. God says, look, I am with you. He tells later on Joshua and Isaiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't worry about their faces. They're going to make faces at you. And by the way, you guys do. I want to get a camera one day and kind of pan it around and see all your expressions when I'm preaching and get all the... Some of you got thinking faces. I've learned what the thinking faces are. But there's some, you know, I don't know about, you know... You know, it can be discouraging to preach up here and to look at everybody's faces and not get the smiles. That's why I have to tell jokes every once in a while to kind of get someone to smile at me, see, make sure everyone's still on my side and friendly with me. You know, that's why we like amens. You know what amen means? I agree. That means, all right, preacher, we're with you. We got you. We agree with that. You know, that's good. That's good. But the Bible says, even if you don't, I keep my eyes on him. So here we see, first of all, courage for Joshua. Courage for Joshua. That as we're setting up prep work, as they're preparing for victory to happen, it has to start with the leadership following after the Lord themselves. They have to be following the Lord. They don't need to be distracted. They have to continue to follow after him. The second thing we see in this passage is not only courage for Joshua, but courage for the people. Courage for the people. Notice as it goes on in verse number 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, so first of all, the first 9 verses, God is talking to Joshua. When God is done, Joshua grabs up the officers, the leadership of the people. He can't put all 2.5 million people in the church. He has to grab the officers and the leadership, and he addresses them. And notice in verse number 11, he says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, here we see this preparing to obey. Joshua grabs the officers and he says, all right, guys, what's going to happen in 3 days? We are going to cross the Jordan River. In order to do that, we have to prepare. Now, remember, they have been fed for 40 years with manna from heaven. That's going to stop. God's going to turn the faucet off. They're going to have to prepare. You know, if we are going to have victory in this church, there's got to be some preparation. We have to prepare for victories. There's some planning. There's some organization. There are some things that we have to set into order in order to grow, in order to happen. We need to be training people. We need to be preparing people. We need to be equipping people. There's all kinds of things. Notice that it's not Joshua doing it by himself. Joshua doesn't go to each person of the 2.5 million. He goes through leadership and equips and tells the leadership, and the leadership go out to the people. You know, a bigger a church is, the smaller it must become. We have to do things to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks. Only one person, there's only a certain amount of people that he could effectively take care of. But if he organizes the efforts, if he prepares and trains the people, then what happens is that more people can be reached and more people can get followed up on and more people can be taken care of than just one person and doing it by himself. And they're preparing them. They're telling them, in 3 days, we're going to cross the Jordan River. You need to make sure that you have all the things in order. You know, I'm an organizer by nature, and it scratches my head sometimes when people say, yep, we're going on vacation or going something like this, and then all the stuff they leave behind. They said, well, what happened? Well, they failed to plan. They failed to organize. Well, I'm fixing to go to the hospital. I was telling my wife, if I'm going to the hospital, I'm getting my computer, I'm getting my Bible, I'm getting my other stuff. I have it all with me, and let's go. You know, wherever you go, there's always prep work. There's always things to organize your efforts to prepare on. If we're going to have some victory this year in this church, well, there's going to be building and battling. But guess what? There needs to be some preparation. We need to have Bibles ready so when people get saved, we have Bibles. We need to have things organized and set up so we could take care of people when they come in. Because everyone's going to be hurting. People are going to have needs. We have to organize things. We have to prepare. There are things we have to budget out financially. There are things that we have to do. But there is prep work for it. Victories just don't come out of nowhere. Good armies prepare for it to happen. And there are things that need to be organized. And by the way, as things happen in this church, we're going to try to prep you and try to organize it. And we're going to try to get the communication out. But there is prep work before there's victories, before they go out, before they're mobilized. He tells them to go prepare victuals. Victuals is a good old Bible word that means food. That's good stuff. You need your victuals. You need to be able to have eat. There was preparation there. You need to prepare the food. You need to go. 3 days we're crossing and everything is changing. Now notice as he changes and he addresses not just the officers, but he pulls the officers of 3 different tribes in verse number 12. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua saying, remember the word which Moses the servant commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Now he reminds them that he says, all right, we're on this side of the Jordan and you asked specifically for Moses to give you this land, and he has. So look, God is prepared for you. God has supplied, he has organized, he's set this here, guys. Verse number 14, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed and mighty men of valor, and help them. So he said, not only did God provided, but you need to keep your promise. Remember, these men asked Moses, Moses, we don't want to go over to the promised land. We don't want to go over there. We're happy to be here in God's permissive will. And Joshua said, that's fine. Remember, you made a promise that your family could stay here, your wives, your kids, your possessions, they could stay over here. But your armies, you promised you were going to come over here and you're going to fight with us. Don't forget the promises you made. A preacher said, you know, most church people don't need to make new decisions. You just need to keep the decisions you've already made. Many of you have already made decisions to read your Bible, and you just haven't kept them. Many of you have made decisions that you were going to be faithful to church, and you just haven't kept them. Some of you made decisions that you were going to tell people about the Lord, and you just haven't kept them. You need to remember the promises you made to God, and you just need to obey what you've told God you were going to do. Just be obedient to it. And we're just giving a friendly reminder that many of you have made promises. Keep it. Keep it. That's what we're going to do to have victory, is just to obey those things that we've told God that we were going to do. Notice as he goes on in verse 15, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they possess the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising. He says, all right, you keep your promise, and when you're done, you get to come back to the land that was given to you. He says, guys, I'm reminding you, now I'm the leader, we're fixing to go into the other side of Jordan, you need to keep your promise. Are your army still coming with us? Now, notice the response of all the people. We went through the courage for Joshua. Joshua needed courage. Now, Joshua is reminding the people to courage to obey. Keep your promises. You need to prepare to obey. God's going to supply, but you need to do some work yourself. He's trying to tell the people, all right, do what you're supposed to do. Then we come finally to the courage to obey. The courage to obey. Notice with me in verse number 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You see, what they have here is that they made a promise to obey. They continue in verse 17. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. So they made a promise. They said, Joshua, as long as God's with you, we're obeying you. We're making you a promise right here and right now. We're going to go. We're going to obey. You just tell us what to do. And as long as you're walking with God, we'll do whatever you tell us to do. You know, that's encouraging by people to say, you know, we're going to obey. As long as you're with God, walking with God, we're going to do what you tell us to do. Notice in verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken to thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. Notice in verse 18, they are recognizing there's consequences for disobeying. They said, all right, if any man doesn't obey, let him be put to death. We understand there's consequences. Do you know that what we want in this church is unity, and I think we have unity so far, and we appreciate that. But if we're going to have victory, what's going to happen is that the Lord is going to lead leadership, and the leadership is going to have the people pray and say, God, you guys double check. This, we want you to pray, and we want you to be on the same page, and we move together. And as long as I'm following the Lord, you guys should have confidence that we're moving together. But you have to recognize that if there's someone that chooses not to obey, that says, I don't care what the pastor says, I don't want to be a part of it, there's going to be consequences. And there's going to be consequences in that person's life. And unfortunately, there's tragic consequences. You see, God has a purpose and he has a plan. And one of the things that he's looking for is a church that's going to go forward. You know, there's plenty of churches that stagnate and just say, we're just going to be here. We'll fill the pews on Sunday morning. We'll have a good time and leave. And you come in and leave the same way. I mean, there's no changes, no moving forward. There's many places that, if you could use this expression, are playing church. That they show up, they bring their Bible, they sing their songs, they sit down, they give an offering. And they're not bad people. They're not evil people. They're just not moving forward. But if we're going to move forward, God's going to direct us, but we need everyone to go with us. But any church that's moving forward and someone gets in the way of that, God is going to have consequences on them, because God is just looking for someone to move forward. A church is not destroyed from the outside. It's destroyed from within. That's what we need, is we need people to continue to go forward and people to recognize that if this is a church that's going to advance, and you get in the way of that, there's going to be consequences. Now, that's horrible to say. I don't like saying that. But the people here are recognizing, Joshua, we're with you, and we're going to obey you. And we recognize there's consequences for someone who chooses not to. They're recognizing there's consequences for it. You know what you need to decide? We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to do our best to help this church move forward. We're going to expect victories. We're going to do our part to go forward. You know, there's one other thing I want to show you here. In verse number 18, Remember, the people are addressing Joshua. And they say, whosoever he that doth rebel against thy Joshua commandment, and will not hearken unto thy Joshua's words, and all that thou Joshua commandeth, he that person who failed shall be put to death. Only, now remember, this is what's called an understood you. Only Joshua, you be strong and of a good courage. Do you know that three times God tells Joshua to be strong and be courage? And then the people tell Joshua to be strong and be courage. This is not addressed to the people. It's addressed to Joshua. Four times from two different sources, Joshua is told, be strong and good courage. Do you know that if we're going to go forward, not only do you need to pray for your pastor that he stays in the Bible, but you know what you need to do? You need to make a decision to say, Pastor, we're with you. We're giving you permission to lead. Someone once said this, that someone who leads and no one follows, they're just on a long walk. You know, the people, God is going to do something in this church, it just can't be the pastor alone. The people need to say, Pastor, you follow the Lord. We're with you. You know, that helps. When these people came to Joshua, I mean, it's one thing for the Lord to say it. We all understand that. He still has to deal with the people, 2.5 million of those people. But when the people come up, the officers, the leadership of the people say, Joshua, you follow the Lord, we're with you. Be strong and of a good courage. Do you know that did a ton to encourage them? Again, we understand that God telling them, that's very powerful. But when the people get behind him, oh man, he's like, let's go. When they get behind him and they said, Pastor, we're with you. Joshua, we're with you. They're ready to go. He's fired up. He's ready to go. You know, that does so much. You know, if we're going to have victory, there's things you need to do to help support your pastor. Remember, there's some prep work here. There's some prep work that the leadership has to be right, but the congregation, the people, have some responsibilities too that they need to be supporting. Now, you guys have been nothing but supporting since I've been here. I'm encouraged by that. That's why I'm expecting victories to happen, because we're not dragging people. We're moving forward together, and I'm thankful for that. But we need to be reminded that's what needs to happen. You need to say, Pastor, you're allowed to be pastor. Pastor, you're allowed to follow God. As long as you're following God, we're with you. Now, I know that gives me, I need to make sure that I'm clearly following God and people recognize that. You know, if I'm directing the ship into a ditch, then you guys need to say, all right, Pastor, you know, are you with the Lord? Are you following? We understand that. But as long as I'm following the Lord, we're expecting that people are saying, let's go, Pastor. Let's do it. You know, even if it seems kind of like, wow. I mean, think about Joshua. All right, guys, we're going to go walk around Jericho one time every day for 6 days. Then what we're going to do on the seventh day is that we're going to walk around it seven times. And by the way, you can't say a single word. Now, remember, Joshua had to give those orders. Don't you think out of 2.5 million people, there was maybe someone who scratched their head and said, you know, what? But again, the people made a decision before those orders came out that they were going to follow, that Joshua, you follow the Lord, and as long as you're following the Lord, we'll follow, we'll obey, we'll go with you. You know, that helped. So when he did give crazy orders like that, the people said, all right, we made a decision that we're going to obey. And it sounds a little bit crazy to us, but we're going to do it anyways because we said we're going to follow him as long as he's following the Lord. I mean, isn't that a crazy order? I mean, think about it. We read that in the Bible, but isn't that what? To be quiet the whole time? And we'll get more into the March of Jericho, but that was 1.5 miles around at least. On the last day, if you were to total that up, it took them a couple hours to go around that last time. I teach 7th and 8th graders once, and I don't want to get too much, I'll spoil the story and stuff. But I told them, we're going to go march around the school building with with tables over our head, and there was a reason for that. And then you can't say a single word. And those 7th, 8th graders could barely go around a building without wanting to pop. You know, you can't say anything for a couple hours. Nothing. As we march around. Okay. We promised you that as long as you're leading and as long as you're walking with the Lord, we'll follow. We'll do what you say. There may be a time in this next year that the Lord may direct us something and you say, well, I don't know about this. What you need to do is we're going to do some prep work. You need to make a decision that as long as pastor is following the Lord, we're going to follow him. Even if it sounds crazy, because we're trying to see victory. And God will do some crazy things because that way God gets the glory in him and him alone. But that's some prep work that you have to do. What decisions are we looking for? First of all, you need to set up a time where every day you are going to say, this is my time to pray for pastor. Second of all, you need to make a decision. If we're going to have victory this year, you need to make a decision and say, preacher, we're with you. As long as you're following the Lord, we're going to be following too. Just keep following the Lord. But you need to make a decision now. Before we get to anything crazy, before we get to anything where you say, wait a second, that you need to make a decision now. This is at prep work, and we want to see victories this year. So it's on you now. I have my responsibility, and that's to stay close with the Lord and keep growing. Your responsibility is to pray for your preacher and also make a decision that say, as long as he's following the Lord, we're going to obey. And we're going to expect victories this upcoming year that we couldn't even think about right now because we have a good God. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.